Okay. Let's welcome in hour number three and all of you folks. Glad you're along tonight. It is again Tuesday, and we are moving quickly. It is the 7th today. Tomorrow's the 8th. And we're going to roll through this month like we did last month. It's just crazy. Dr. Ed Ward is back with us tonight. Ed is certainly world famous. Now, he is internationally known as the man who first pointed the figure to the obvious. And the finger he pointed was to a micro, mini, or otherwise small tactical nuclear weapon, which he claims and presents abundant data, was used to destroy the World Trade Center towers, turn them literally into dust. Remember, if you will, there were no desks, no chairs, no furnishings, no file cabinets. There was nothing in the rubble. Now, any building falls down, I don't care how hard it falls, there are always going to be crushed desks, file cabinets, chairs, fixtures, you name it. There was nothing. Something pulverized, dustified the actual towers themselves. And yes, they were dropped in a controlled demo fashion, but something else went on there. And Ed's thesis is, up the center, destroying the 13 core support columns, came a directed nuclear explosion. And that explosion clearly impacted the entire structure, turning everything that would normally be recognizable into vapor and dust. It's gone. Where did it go? Anyway, Ed's got some more things to discuss, and I wanted to have him back on tonight to do just that. Are you there, Ed?
Yeah, Jeff. Thanks for having me back on the program again.
Oh, my pleasure. Your most recent papers, one, did Israel use a small nuke on Damascus? And the other one is 9/11, why covert ops must have fake video and no planes. And we've all seen the no-planer arguments and so forth about 9/11. Just gets sillier and sillier. We should probably start with Israel and Syria. Now, what happened there was pretty unique. Whatever weapon was used did an extraordinary amount of damage, literally, again, disintegrating, almost vaporizing, several city blocks in terms of area. And the buildings there were just gone. Now, we had Charlie Smith on the other night, and he suggests last night that some kind of a bunker buster type weapon was used to get down in there, because underneath, he projects, his sources indicate, there were over 100 fairly formidable missiles. They were actually Iranian knockoffs of the Russian Frog missile that were destined for Hezbollah. At any rate, something got down into there and lit off the whole thing. An extraordinary explosion, and many of you have seen the film, resulted in almost a satanically evil nighttime mushroom cloud, with the mushroom part of the cloud itself obviously full of glowing something or another. It was really quite a scene. After all these days now, there have been four or five, I guess, Ed, what are your thoughts on the kind of weapon used to take out that facility?
Well, I mean, we're either talking about some type of tremendous explosive, like what they call a MOAB, the monster bomb that weighs like 30,000 pounds, but to do, I mean, an area like that, and they could do it, but they're just a different type of damage, and they don't do that kind of ground damage usually. According to them, they saw a new kind of weapon.
Correct.
Is what Syria stated, and from what we saw on video and from what we can see, it's definitely a new type of weapon. It looked very similar to what we saw at Waco. a massive fireball that set off multiple compartmentalized units, which is basically what we had there at Damascus. They had supposedly up to 100 missiles that they knew were coming in, had been known. They knew the ship that was carrying them and had warned the ship. And so they just waited, apparently, till they got there and then took them out there.
Hmm. Okay. Now, if it, Charles R. Smith was originally saying, looks like a MOAB to me. Let's call it a fuel air bomb, if you will. He couldn't find evidence of a big crater. If that were the case, that is, you say, a 30,000-pound device would have to be, obviously, airlifted in there by a fixed-wing aircraft.
Yeah, that's something that's not carried in a fighter. You're talking about something that takes some, like a B-52, something like it on that size to get this bomb in there, to get that kind of bomb. Whereas if you're talking about a nuke, you're talking about something maybe as big as a coffee can.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about moving 30,000 pounds, or you're talking about maybe moving 50 pounds.
30,000 pounds has to be trucked in there. C-130, we could use a C-5,
yeah,
we could use a B-52. But obviously the Israelis, if they did use a weapon like that, and they have them, they would have to have completely paralyzed all the Syrian air defense systems. And they may have been able to do that. We don't know. But your point is well taken.
Well, we definitely know that they have used a nuke in Damascus before. About three or four weeks, I believe, before this bombing, they had a car bombing go off. And while I was investigating the most recent bombing, I ran across the car bombing picture, and they happened to release the crater that came from the vehicle bombing.
Uh-huh.
That gave me a chance to go look back for Vial's works, where
Joe,
he had...
Yeah, that's Joe Vial's, V-I-A-L-L-S, Joe Vial's. Really a good researcher, interesting man. Gone
right.
For too many years now.
And he had some pictures as well as a video that was, or at least a portion of the video that was done by the L.A. Special Forces, where they blew up two pickup trucks with 1,000 pounds of ANFO in the back. And they were hoping to get this nice big crater, you know, that you're going to get from, 1,000 pounds of ANFO. The problem is it doesn't make any crater at all. The path of least resistance and physics makes pretty much the area underneath the truck or vehicle pretty much protected from the blast. Everything
Sure.
wants to expand out into the air.
Gotcha.
So anytime you've got a crater from, you know, unless you can, again, you know, like 15 tons or, say, 30,000 pounds, 40,000 pounds, you put that in a vehicle, yeah, you can make a crater. But I haven't seen the vehicle yet you can put that much explosive in and ride around in.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
And so those had virtually disappeared from the net. I was able to pull them back up. And unfortunately, the video section has long disappeared. But I was very glad to be able to find those and get them back on the net. So we got proof that anytime you see a truck, or unless you're talking about a semi truck with, again, 30,000 or 40,000 pounds of explosives, you're not going to see a crater when they blow up. So all of these supposed truck bombs in the past, all these supposed car bombs in the past, they've been all nukes.
Now, a lot of people will say, wait a minute, Ed, where's the proof? Now, they don't know how miniaturization has progressed in the last 60 years since the Davy Crockett was loaded into an artillery tube. That was a
Well, things
artillery.
Have progressed.
Yeah, just a little. 60 years of technology, and they had a nuclear bomb they could put in an artillery shell in the 1950s. Look it up. It was called the Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett, yeah.
So what have they done in the last 60 years? Lots and lots. Be right back with Dr. Ed. Hold on, Ed, just a sec. We'll come right back. Okay, and we're back. Talking to Dr. Ed Ward about the miniaturization of nuclear weapons. So these things are coffee can size, softball size. It's hard for a lot of people to understand that. They would say, okay, well, again, the path of least resistance that you just mentioned, Ed, would dictate that a nuclear bomb on the bottom of the World Trade Center would do what? Would it go straight up, pulverizing everything, or would it want to go laterally and move out through those little tiny thin plate glass windows on each floor? Or are they shaped and vectored in such a way that they will continue to push in one particular direction? Up.
Well, there's no doubt China's demonstrated they had focused nuclear weapons back before 2000, there's no doubt that focused weapons were part of the government released secret operations for nuclear weapons, as well as deciding which type of nuclear reaction they wanted to select for, such as neutrons, gamma rays, X-rays. They can pretty much select what they want, even in the older weapon. But what we're seeing today is not an older weapon. That to me, I believe they've solved pure fusion.
Hmm.
And
how would pure fusion perform in terms of a weapon? How would it work? Like we saw?
It's basically a neutron bomb. A very, very clean neutron bomb.
Now, there were allegedly radiation readings amongst the wreckage of the towers. And we had that New York City survey, that aerial survey, which identified radioactivity coming from the city, and the Freshkills landfill was one of the key locations, which is where a lot of the debris from the WTC was taken.
Right. Well, we have definitely have radiation readings in the form of tritium coming from the government itself. Those levels were 55 times normal. You would expect no more than 20 tritium units, which is the environmental average, and the high environmental average. It actually would be 10 or 15 if you wanted to increase the numbers, but you should find no more than 20, and they found 1,092 tritium units. So that's supposedly traces. When you're looking for 20 and you find 1,092, according to Stephen Jones, that's traces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one bit of radiation that, you know, they said, well, you know, they don't think of tritium at first as radiation, but it's definitely one. There was also other radiation there. They checked for beta radiation with an instrument that only had 50% sensitivity, and so it still came up with elevated readings even with that. So basically, you're talking about doubling the number to get the actual value. So those would have all been more than just slightly elevated. They'd have been at least double the value. But and this new kind of stuff, and Prager has did some excellent work on fission products, and from what he shows, this was not one of the newer ones, or if it was, it was the one ones that still had fission products in them, because we definitely see some evidence of fission products. But this newer stuff, the only fission products you're going to see are the stuff that's induced from the neutrons. And that's going to be all transient stuff. That's going to be gone in 48, 72 hours, and that's going to be gone.
Okay. So this item could have been carried in there the morning of its use in each tower, no problem, just put it in there, or is there a special setup and control and all the rest? Remember, there was a blast.
You're talking about a neutron bomb. This is something that's actively decaying as you're carrying it around, even in safe conditions.
I see.
You know, it only takes one little neutron to make it to the right spot, and it can go boom. This isn't, you know, this is still something that's takes a good bit of knowing what you're doing to carry around it, let alone it takes a demolition person to put it where it needs to be to do what it needs to do.
Now, what is the connection between this kind of a device at 9/11 and what happened in Syria, Damascus? If you're right, and it did look suspicious, I don't have the expertise that many do.
I have enough data that I think any court in the land can say without a doubt that there were neutron nukes used in the World Trade Centers, but we just don't have that enough for Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, you know, some very suspicious stuff going on. Something that makes a fireball and just destroys land and buildings for a couple of blocks. You know, so you're talking about nuclear power without a doubt, but it's not something that looks 100% nuclear. And that would all go along with a simple pure fusion bomb. And the science behind it is basically uncooled cold fusion amplified. Instead of having a smaller reaction of just deuterium going on inside there,
right?
Lithium-7 will take an electron. You know, prior to this time, prior to cold fusion, they always thought that you had to take a neutron and blast it into another neutron in order to, or into the atom, to get it to separate and make power. But with cold fusion, you're talking about a simple electron kicking everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And lithium-7 breaks down into tritium, breaks down into lithium-6, and sends out photons and energy in order to promote the reaction.
Got it. All right. Very good. Talking to Dr. Ed Ward about things that most people really don't know anything about. And the question next, I guess, would be, you know, where do you order one of these up at? Where would they come from? So we'll have some fun with that in just a couple of minutes. Okay, and talking to Dr. Ed Ward, So if the Israelis are using nuclear weapons, well, we use certainly nuclear weapons in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, you name it. We use nukes all the time.
They don't technically call these nuclear weapons.
I understand.
Even the small neutrons that they used to have, once they got below 1 kiloton, they're not even called nukes anymore. They give them a special testing quality so that they can keep testing them.
That's funny.
But you asked about where would they come from. This is not anything I have proof of, like we have the proof of all the residue, the massive craters, the 5 acres of land, Hiroshima cancers, anaerobic fires. We just have just massive proof that there were nukes in 9/11. We don't have that much proof in the other places, and we don't have as much proof as to where the nukes came from. But it's not a big secret that the Mona has, for the West, the newest class of weapons around. And Russia, who pretty much came up with the red mercury and the small nukes to begin with, the neutron nukes, didn't really have an interest in them when they first made them. So they really didn't progress with them, whereas I expect the Mona did.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. You can, again, click on the two articles under Dr. Ed Ward's name and read up his data. It is right there. Tell me more about 9/11. Where are we now? Is it the no-planers, the fake video, weapons
from
space?
Well, we still have the big no-plane push, but...
How can that be? How can people of alleged intelligence make such a statement? Now, we can certainly understand that these weren't the airliners they were supposed to be, that they were specially configured and flown in there under autopilot to do the damage they did. We saw the bulge on the bottom of one of them. But to say that tens of thousands of people were wrong, hundreds of thousands, millions ultimately, tens of millions beyond that, is a bit of a stretch. It's just silly.
Well, then to go past that, the logistics of, well, we've got two planes. I mean, you know, they got planes all over the place. That's not the problem, getting a plane. The logistics of bringing in the parts and then keeping them invisible while you're bringing them in, doing all this stuff that wouldn't need to be done, and it would be very easily seen. People could get pictures of it. You know, it's just crazy.
Not crazier than that. Is there an audience for this? I mean, are people buying it?
It's hard to say because we've got, it's not a secret that the military has invaded social media. The CIA's invaded social media, and they've even created software for it to come up with multi-alias names.
That's right.
So it's hard to say what's being accepted by the people. Except for a few things, and that is that people who are reading my stuff, thank you, please keep it up. It's showing up all over the places. We've been 9/11 nukes. We've been able to get information out on that on Google, but I'm showing up in places like World's Fastest Gazelle. I'm on the front Google page.
That's quite a feather in your cap, I'd say.
For the Chelyabinsk meteor, the radiation experiments, Wake Up and Glow. I'm on the first page of just cosmetic ads and all kinds of stuff. I mean, so we're showing up. And so please, this isn't coming to you hardly from any place but Rents. So please, if you see my stuff, you like it, repost it, tweet it, get it out there, because it's not being carried by anybody else.
Yeah, we're happy to do it, as you know, and I just don't still to this day understand how so obvious disinformation campaigns like we've been talking about can get any traction at all. I mean, yeah, they get exposure, and they've got pros that know how to push this stuff all over the net, but still, is there that little common sense among the people this many years after 9/11 that this could even be debated? I mean, I'm not against debating, don't get me wrong, but this is silly time. No planes?
Yeah, it is to me, and sometimes they'll tie in, no planes and nukes. And it's just using a poison pill to poison nukes. Because, when they see them together, they say, well, they're both crazy. But whereas we have proof, and we have proof of planes. And,
yes.
and all this, I've got a couple of very entertaining videos of an F-4 Phantom going into a concrete wall to alleviate all these problems that the disinfo is putting out. You can actually see what a plane looks like going into a wall. You can see the tip end of its right wing severed as if Luke Skywalker had taken as one of his little phaser deals and sliced it right off,
uh-huh.
And it doesn't deform. It doesn't change pattern. It doesn't twist. It keeps on moving as if it had the whole rest of the plane with it. Metals tend to liquefy under pressure. I've got some slow-mo videos of bullets, which are just lead. Now, some of them are copper-coated, but for the most part, all these are nothing but lead and copper-coated bullets going through steel. When you put pressure on steel, it tends to liquefy. It's just as though you put it in a furnace in that one little spot and instantly put heat on it. And so you don't have to take anybody's word for it. You can look at it. You can see the metal melting in front of your eyes as it goes through the metal.
All right, very good. Ed Ward, again, out in front of the pack, always, and his materials are right below his name and guests. Read them and share them. There's a lot of provocative stuff there, backed up. And we will be back in just a couple. Interesting comment about the Israeli attack on Syria, Ed. In any other time period, if Israel, of course, were not a world-ranking thermonuclear power, there'd be war now. Syria would have fought back, fired something in exchange, but that doesn't happen now. Everything's different.
Well, part of it is they don't know what hit them yet.
Well, they know something did, and they know who done it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it should be war. If somebody nuked us, we'd be wanting war. Well, they did, and we did, except it was us that nuked us.
Right. Yep.
You were on the cutting edge of a lot of stuff. A lot of my stuff was able to break because of Rents.com, some because of the information coming on through Rents. But there was timely information coming through on Waco and Boston, and that helped me a lot pulling information together.
Glad to do it. You have people who support your work, and then there are the others who are out there clearly and obviously either working for somebody else or just not, they don't have 52 cards in their deck. There's something wrong, and I don't get it. But we do know how much the government spends in terms of tax money to sow disinformation, misinformation, and all the rest of it, all over the net. They've been caught hiring reporters to do things. They've been caught impersonating reporters. They've been caught paying reporters to do things in newspapers. In 1957, Operation Northwoods, the CIA bragged it could post any story it wanted in any newspaper within an hour anywhere in the country. Well, that was in the 50s.
Yeah, they literally can do it nationwide now.
That's right. And with a few keystrokes. It's very simple. They just step into the AP stream or the UPI stream or the Reuters stream and dump out a story, and those who are downline know to pick it up.
Yeah,
Doesn't take much.
Those other people will never mention my name. If they've got to mention nukes, they'll mention anybody else. But when you come to me, you get way more than nukes. You got stuff on depleted uranium and Agent Orange, going back to earlier work. Family Right. We did work on the Chelyabinsk meteor missile. We're also like number one Google for Chelyabinsk missile. The information's starting to be shown despite the massive disinfo campaign, but it's still prevalent.
Okay. So again, where do these things go ahead? Go on.
Yeah, I mean, we have everybody has has any kind of memorial to the planes going into the towers has video and can clearly see, if they slow it down and zoom in on it, that these are not commercial airliners. But did any of these supposed truth groups that are basically nothing more than disinfo control the opposition group?
Well, a lot of them are created opposition, of course.
Right. Did any of them say, hey, we have proof, we got military planes flying into the towers? No. All you heard was fake video.
Right.
In order to bypass the evidence without ever stating what the evidence was.
You know, the people who run these shows, honestly, they've got to laugh at how easy it is to run the sheep any direction they want. I mean, it is really no contest.
Well, people are learning, but it's very slow.
Well, as many learn, that many younger people come up who don't learn, who don't get it, who don't even want to. They don't want to do anything but have fun. So time is on their side. That's the sad part of it. When our group is gone, I don't know who's going to be around to pick up the slack, because there are so many in the alternative movement now who are, in fact, working for the controllers. They are. We'll not know
it,
but they're all over the place. I'd say it's at least 50-50. Controlled opposition, created controlled opposition.
Well,
maybe,
in my
maybe
opinion,
it's more.
It's a lot higher than
well,
that.
I'm being just trying to be generous here.
you
know, it's really, seriously, how many honest independents are there? How many truly honest, non-agenda driven independents are there on the internet?
Well, when you find one, let me know.
Well, I hope I qualify. I try.
Outside of French, yeah. When you find one, let me know. Now, I mean, I'm not saying everything on Wrench is 100% true, but if you look on Wrench, you can find the truth.
It's there. And believe me, trying to sift through sometimes several hundred stories a day and grab the ones that are worth looking at and trusting that the readership understands discernment, right? You know, I put things up there that a lot of people will see through. That's why they're up there. They're trying to help people see better, and you can't give them a perfect diet of all one persuasion. You've got to challenge them so their radar will ping and they'll see something that's wrong. That's part of the game. And yeah, it's quite a scene. And I don't begrudge anybody, honestly, Ed, who doesn't want to get involved. It's too much. It's too much for you, it's too much for me, it's just too much. But that's the way the controllers are doing it.
You can't play this and expect to win.
That's a pretty good summary. No, you cannot play it to expect to win. You can play it, and you know you'll do your best, but you're not going to win. Not right now.
You can't look at that aspect. If you do, you'll never make it past a few days.
That's all the truth right there in one sentence. It is amazing to me how easy it is, as I said, and also how clever the other side is. Now, they don't have to be so clever anymore because they've got total control over everything, the mainstream media, the educational system, popular TV, the culture. It doesn't matter. They've infiltrated everything. So they
run
it.
Well, they've practiced this for years and all their little CIA
decades.
Campaigns in South America, all their little juntas, all their little revolutions. It's been practiced what stories to put in, how to shape public opinion. I mean, we've had psychiatrists, the best in the field, working on how to control people.
For a long time.
For decades.
Well, it always goes back to Bernays, and if you really want to understand the genesis of it, Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and Bernays, Edward L. Bernays, and I lived to be 94, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. He started the whole thing. He understood it, and they took it and ran with it, and then Tavistock got to work, and it became really an exercise like Skinner. You put a piece of meat in front of the dog and they salivate. That's how they approached it. Action, reaction. And they knew how to generally reconfigure the lust of the overriding public to suit their purposes. And they did it. Sports, sex, rock and roll, right? Toys.
Everywhere. Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have much news if all you put up was the true stories, the 100% true stories.
They're very, very few and far between. The thing that's becoming harder to find all the time is original thinking, original thought. Most so-called individual, independent writers on the net now take much of their material from other people or other sources. And that's there's nothing wrong with doing research, but when you rely on the work of other people, and plagiarism is a rampant pandemic now, and a lot of people are so damn lazy they don't even bother rewriting it. They actually graft in quotes without attribution. And anyway,
yeah, it surprises me how many people take links to my stuff, because I have everything highly referenced, and when I get back information, I would think that everybody would take a link to some information, and it's just a very small number of people take links anymore.
It's true. All right, what's on your plate, Ed? What are you working on now? You're just watching and commenting?
I'm just taking a break. We've been pretty busy between Waco and Boston and Chelyabinsk and now Damascus. And
there'll be another one coming along. They come along like taxi cabs.
You're basically talking about, 500 pounds of TNT, however much TNT you want, walking around in something that you can carry around in a backpack. And based on what I saw in Boston, this thing is focused can be focused to a very narrow range. I mean, you can virtually set one off below somebody and take out people for stories up above you and be sitting in your room and be pretty, pretty safe.
It's amazing. It really is. It's all there, and very few people want to take a look at it anymore. But that's
they're flooded with so much now. The truth groups, and they're all flooding out disinfo, bias stuff.
Total overload, total sensory overload. That's also a known operational tactic. They have it all figured. They know. Ed, thanks for being here. Thanks for keeping up what you've been doing for so long. Always great to get your commentary on things and to introduce it to people.
And always good to talk to you, Jeff.
Thank you. Be well.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Dr. Ed Ward, MD. And there we are tonight already. Zoom. Okay, back with you tomorrow night. We're going to talk to a very interesting man, an MD, a plastic surgeon who has donated years of work to people in Pakistan and so forth, Afghanistan, whom in many cases we have disfigured. And he'll be on tomorrow night. Why? Because in the year 2008-2009, that one period of time, he alleges to have met with Osama bin Laden 5 times. New book. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. Hope you're here. Take care.